Your name?
Louis Vitale. I'm a Franciscan from California.
And Father Louis, what brings you to SOA Watch?
Well, I'm very concerned about what's going on in Latin America, but also in the rest of the world through militarization. And I think the United States is spreading that. And right here is an example with the School of the Americas, which trains people in counterinsurgency, which means anyone who has an agenda different than ours, and particularly our economic agenda. And we clearly found and discovered papers, etc., books showing that they were teaching torture, which now we've come to see is really heinous, the kind of torture that's used in Abu Ghraib and Guantanamo Bay and such. So I've met people that were involved in that, victims and numerous down in Latin America and here. And it just offends me. I'm a veteran. I'm a Catholic priest, and I just feel Franciscan. I feel I can't just sit by and do nothing. So if it means 6 months in prison, that's fine. And whatever it takes to try to bring an end to this. But I'm always excited to see people. And we have a lot of young people here again this year. I think that's really exciting. Along with the, now we've got these occupations going on all over the country, and people are saying no to this, no to this. And that's what changes the empire, when people say no, withhold their consent. So all these people, they may be just singing and all that, but their hearts are in it. They want to see a changed world. And we have people here that are victims of violence. They've been giving testimonies in this country and other countries. We have been hearing about the drones and how they're attacking places like Palestine, what we call unwarranted assassinations, really. They haven't been tried by anybody. We just go in there. The person's here in the United States, and they're dropping bombs over there in Afghanistan. It's just not right. So just whatever we can make us more human beings, better human beings. I love everybody. I love the police. I love the people that are in the military. I love everybody. But we try to work for more justice, more sisters and brothers living together, working together, and loving together.
How long have you been coming to the School of the Americas Watch?
Since 2001, the year of the 9/11, and that's the first time they put in all these fences. You used to be able to go walk all the way up there and so forth, and sometimes they'd give some people a little citation or something. Now they've got three rows of fences. It's huge. It looks like this huge military facility and that big armed box up there, which is a place where they can, I'm sure, have automatic weapons and take it out on people. And as I said, I've been a number of times to prison, like 3 to 6 months. And, we just got to be ready to, give our witness wherever we can. And just most people just come to say no. And we're also working with the Congress, trying to get them to defund the School of the Americas. So we just introduced another new bill, House H.R. 3368. Congressman McGovern and many others have signed on to it and initiated it. And so we're trying to get it passed. We'll be going in the spring and April to Washington doing kind of a lobbying push to get it passed and say, put this behind us. We don't need to be here teaching people how to do torture and things in other countries. So you teach people how to make peace.
So at this time, so in a little while, folks are going to walk up to here.
That's right, yeah.
Explain what's going to take place.
Okay, well, it's a funeral procession. So we have it every year. And it started in the year when the Jesuits were massacred in El Salvador, five Jesuits and their woman associate and her daughter. And they were massacred in their own home. And people came here and said, because we know the School of the Americas is where we get trained in a lot of that. And so we came here, the people get trained from down there. And started having actions here. And every year we come to commemorate the deaths of those, the sisters who were massacred, etc. And commemorate it and then work towards trying to get it closed. So I've been coming here since 2001, not every year, but a number of years. And I've been, probably 3 months sentences in prison in between. So, including last year and the year before, and not this year because of the we're putting a lot of effort into the occupations going on in the country, for me mostly in California. I think that can change things.
What do you think it'll take to close the School of the Americas?
Well, I think if we can give the Congress people kind of the energy that they indicate, that, and the president, who had indicated at one point that he was in favor of closing the school, the members of Congress and so forth, to defund it. They provide the money, so they can take it away.
Now, some people will, in years past, hop the fence right in front of us. Mm-hmm. You have a different preferred route when you do go
Amen.
On to the base.
Amen. You look at me. I'm about 80 years old, and you're kind of a body bag of bones. I couldn't get over that fence. Not without a big ladder or something, but I know I went in with a fellow that went in with me last year. Well, two guys went over the fence, and the guy that went in with me, he was pretty scratched up, and you know, there's a lot of wire on top and stuff, and I couldn't make it over. We used to go, a number of times I went under the fence, around the fence the first year, under the fence a couple times, and then go down to the first or second off ramp and just walk up very freely, they're probably waiting for me down there now. Last year they said, yeah, well, you're back again. I hate to disappoint them, but I need to do the involvement in the occupations, because that's a really movement that's going on, I think, that's going to take up all of these.
What are you doing with them, with the occupations?
Well, we do. I participate in, I stay there sometimes out in the sleep, out in the, you know, parks and things. I also join in the marches and visits if they have people going to congressional offices or whatever it takes to try to make some kind of radical transformation. So many people are coming because so many people are losing their jobs and losing their homes and can't get their kids through school or are in school and can't stay in school and so forth. So while we're spending $1 trillion on weapons, nuclear weapons, we're rebuilding all the nuclear weapon facilities. It's just horrendous, $1 trillion. You know, what that can do for, you know, jobs, people, kids. A lot of people want to be teachers. There's no money for them. You know, that's crazy. Kids are in overcrowded classes and understaffed, and yet people are, you know, out of work because there's no money there. It's all going to bombs and a lot of other things, too.
Have you seen anything like the Occupy movement?
Yeah, in the 60s, something like that. Yeah, I think there was a lot of youthful energy involved in it. I think the first 60s thing, at least it seemed, I'm a sociologist too as well as a priest, but I think the focus was kind of more like on family values, or at least the older generation was kind of the, you know, they're out of it. You know, they don't understand us and what our problems are and what our concerns are. Now I think they're clearer about the fact that it's what they call a corporatocracy. You know, we don't have a monarchy. We don't have a democracy. We don't vote on these things, wars and all that. We have a corporatocracy. They elect our congresspeople with their money. They direct them as they do the president. It's all their agenda. And their agenda is usually about domination of other places, other countries. Taking advantage of the environment. This oil pipe that they're trying to get in the West is horrendous for the environment. And nobody wants it in those areas, but these are the people who make profit. They're the ones that want it. So I think people are coming together saying, you know, we're not going to support that. No?
How many times have you been to jail?
Probably at least a couple hundred. I don't know. Maybe more. Arrests anyway, maybe most of the time to jail. But yeah, something like that. I don't know. I don't count.
And what's jail like?
Well, there's a kind of difference. County jails are tough. If I were like last year when I was arrested, you spend the first maybe 2 months in county jails here in Georgia, and it's pretty tough. They're crowded, and you don't get out much, and there's it's a certain amount of violence goes on. Although you get somewhat separated. But then after the couple months, I make it to a federal prison, and they're better. I've been, the last two years, I've been at Lompoc, which is out in California, which is because I live out that way. And, you know, it's not too bad. It's kind of a campus. I mean, it's got fences higher than that with lots of concertina wire, not just that twisted wire, but that breezer wire. You can't get out. it's quite kind of militarily controlled. But I was in the military. I went to military school when I was a kid, and I went through seminary as a Franciscan. So I'm kind of a bit used to regimented behavior, and I didn't find it too bad.
Are you able
really fine. I made really good relations with the guys there. Yeah, and I got along. I was as a Catholic priest. You can't practice whatever your profession is in a federal prison, like a dentist. Or there was a doctor who saved two lives, one by CPR and one by giving him nitroglycerin, which somebody got over the counter, and credited with saving two lives, and was put in the shoe, the hole, for several months for violating the regulation against, you know, practicing their profession, and, you know, malpractice or something like that. And it was ridiculous. He saved their lives, but, oh, you know, you weren't supposed to do that. So anyway, it's a mixed bag, but you have a lot of very fine people there. The thing that disturbs me probably the most about federal prison sentences is these mandatory, the judges have to give them, and they're huge. I mean, they're 10, 15, 20 years, and you have a lot of people your age that are in there with, you know, 15, 20 years to do. Are you married with kids or anything?
No.
Yeah, but you could be at your age. How old are you?
32.
Oh, yeah. See, so people your age, you have a family, and they're the kids with nobody to be there with them, and very often what they did is nothing much. You know, some maybe grew some marijuana in their farmyard or something like that, but it's really not much. My family was in the liquor business most of my life, and yeah, I don't know which is worse. But they're pretty ruthless sentences, and they have so many years, and they take the heart out of a young person's life.
And then I know, having covered the issue a bit in D.C., where so many, particularly young black males, end up in prison.
Oh, absolutely.
When the sentence is over, it's not really over, because the job market is...
Exactly. And if you've got a felony, you're dead. I mean, when we were getting ready to leave, they had some, you know, kind of little pep talks and so forth, and somebody came in and said, you know, here's where you go to find out about jobs and all this. And then this woman came in who was the head of the psych department, you know, and she was just straightforward. She says, let's face it, guys, you know, you're cooked, you know. She says, you're not going to find a job out there. You got a felony, forget it. And then she says, and you're going to get very depressed, and you're not going to find any help out there. There's no psychological or medical help available to you, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So what do? Go shoot yourself? I mean, and a lot of them do, you know, but I mean, it's not only the people coming back from combat with post-traumatic stress disorder, which is horrific, just horrific, and the number of suicides in the military is just soaring, but they have the same kind of effect from years and years and years in prison. It's just terrible. This one guy was getting out, he had 35 years in prison, and said, well, the only thing that isn't different, he was in California, is Jerry Brown's still governor. Of course, he was out for 25 or 30 years in between, but yeah, so.
Any final thoughts you care to share? We stand outside the gates here at Fort Benning.
The thing is, I was in the military.
No demonstrations, marches,
and
actually, can we pause? This is a very interesting announcement.
Will be permitted on Fort Benning, Georgia. If you enter this installation, you will be in violation of Title 18, United States Code, Section 1382, and subject to fine and imprisonment. The proper forum for such activities is provided and available in the civilian community. The sole purpose of this installation is to provide for the military training of soldiers. This policy is completely consistent with the American constitutional tradition that the military must remain politically neutral and under the control of a democratically elected civilian government.
So, Father Lou, I still want to get your final thoughts, but I'd like you to respond to that announcement that the military is supposed to be politically neutral and there's civil society manners to dealing with this type of thing, but this is not the type of behavior, political speech that should be taking place here. Your response to this,
this
announcement.
I agree with you. Well, he made the connection. He said that we have the political process to go through, but we know who elects the people, really? I mean, yeah, there's some people that make some little checks, but it's all how much advertisement people have out there. It's all the corporations, the billions of dollars. The president right now is raising a $1 billion fund to run. We've had them in California, millions and millions, sometimes of their own money, but now they've got this special thing that corporations are people and they can donate and all of that. And that's the television, you know, overwhelms people, and that's what really slants the elections. And or if they get the people to run, they support them in every way, and they pretty much dominate the media. So it's not a free election. And would, how many people would vote to be training people, as they were doing here, how to torture people in Latin America, people from Latin America, teaching them how to torture, teaching them how to do waterboarding and all that sort of stuff. And then they go home and do that to people who are basically pretty innocent. And then they, and the last thing, and it's in the guidelines, and the last thing is leave them 6 feet under. The last thing in the directions is leave them 6 feet under, or 2 meters under when they put it in Spanish. So don't leave any witnesses around. And there's people, not only people that, union people, church people, the Archbishop of San Salvador, the bishop in Guatemala, etc. And then masses of people like El Mazote, where they put everybody in church, set it on fire with all the children in it. I mean, you know, just massacres. Why would we be teaching people things like that? That's not what America's supposed to be all about. So and then the people that are sent here, we pay for it, bring them here, and give them the American way of life, give them a nice car, you know, all these TV, all that sort of stuff, so they get kind of sold on the American way. And then they go out and promote our agendas with various countries and overthrow governments and et cetera. So it's not the American way. It's not the America at all. We're supposed to, we say we're for peace, but not really.
What's your response to, I think what they said, the military must be non-political?
Oh, of course. Yeah. But who pays for the military, you know? Who designs the programs to recruit? Who trains them? Who sends them forth? Who gives the orders? You know, comes all the way down. But we know that those people are getting orders from the lobbyists, thousands of lobbyists in Washington that are there directing them. And then the people running for office, that's how they get elected.
Any final thoughts you want to share?
Well, I think it's just wonderful. I just like seeing now with this movement towards occupation, especially young people, but a lot of not young people like myself, lots of older people that are saying, you know, this is not what America is all about. And I know I was in the military, and I was, I have problems with these drones, you know, but I did that kind of work in the Air Force and almost shot down an airliner because of it, an American airliner. They operate blindly. Somebody's in the United States, California, and they're actually at the controls, like in a booth, arcade booth, of a plane dropping bombs in Afghanistan. And we go out there and counter them and out of Las Vegas in Nevada, where we've been blocking nuclear test bombs for years, testing nuclear bombs. But and they're innocent. And some of them are very young, and they can guide these missiles, and they learned that in the booth, and they don't understand the morality of that. You know, these are mostly innocent people, mostly civilians who are being killed. So I just think that we need to kind of look back and see, what kind of people do we want to be? What kind of country do we want to be? And nonviolence is sweeping the world. So it's in competition with the militarization, the renewal of all our nuclear weapons. At the same time, there's a strong wave of nonviolence. So, as Martin Luther King says, the world is tipping towards justice, towards nonviolence. And we see it happening in many countries, all over the world. Soviet Union and South Africa and Philippines and now Egypt and, you know, all these places. And I think that's really our future.
Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks for taking your time. Mm-hmm.